Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, you've been trying to get pastors to approach the book of Revelation in a manner other than just academically, or in what is thought of as the normal Bible study method. So what have we said so far?
Well, we started by saying it would be helpful to realize that the book of Revelation is written in picture language, and they're very vivid pictures. If you're drawing a picture, you would use vivid colors. If you're writing a picture, you use language that, in my mind, is extravagant and even exaggeration to make a point, or overstated, you could say. Sometimes exaggeration, people object to that, but that's exactly what Revelation is. It's saying something in a way that will grab people emotionally, so it's almost overstated. The pictures are overstated. We're not talking about making a case before a court of law where you're careful with your words and such. We're painting pictures that people can see down through the years. So we need to understand that. We also need to understand that Revelation is a book that is about a day that the world has never seen the likes of before. And if we think of it and try to say, what is our life and how it will be slightly different, that's not what it's about. It is about the closing battle between light and darkness. And it's a day where darkness seems to have won the field. It's almost impossible to read through the book of Revelation and not realize that it's the conflict of the superpowers. And it does say that Jesus is going to win, but it doesn't lay out a timetable like we want to do in a prophecy conference. It basically says that there will be a lot of casualties in this war. It will be a bloody battle, if you put it that way. So when you say bloody battle, you have to be able to picture what that looks like. And last visit, I tried to say, if you study the Holocaust with the huge number of Jewish people who were lost during the Nazi regime, you get a feel anyway of what is being talked about, but not about the Jews, about Christians. Because the Christians are the one who suffer the martyrdom, not through the ages, but also in an overwhelming way during the end times, as it's being talked about. So that's really where we've gone. Now, I want to pick up one more thought as we go there, okay?
So do we start this visit with a text? Or do you still have more background thoughts? And if so, what are they?
Well, I have a lot of background thoughts, and I'm trying to reduce them to a minimum. I guess one thing I would say is people who have been aware of the work of the enemy, after a while, know that he does not play fair. He doesn't tell the truth. He's a liar, the father of lies. He always distorts the truth. And he also is very violent. So when you're talking about what the enemy is able to do, which happened during the Nazi regime, violence is just a part of that. So this is the battle between Christ and Satan, or between God and Satan, depending on how you want to say it, light and darkness again. And we're talking about a despicable foe. So I just want to emphasize that once again. That's what the book of Revelation is dealing with as to the battle that goes on between Satan and God.
Well, I'm sure you're not suggesting that Americans somehow seek to encounter demonic evils, but just what are you saying then?
Well, I think it's important for Americans who have known justice, at least to a large degree compared to the rest of the world, see what is happening in Christians' lives in other parts of the world where they experience this demonic element. They don't have the justice systems that we're talking about. They don't have the opportunity to say, what you did was wrong. I want you to be taken to trial for that, because that's not where the world is. I was recently in Nigeria, and we did a documentary there about the persecution of Christians. I talked to people like one pastor, Pastor John. Nigeria is a very big country. It's about half the size population-wise as the United States. Not nearly as much geographically. It's like the size of California, Nevada, Arizona combined. So it's quite populated. The top half is more Muslim, the bottom half is more Christian. It's about 50-50 in terms of those religions. And I'm not talking evangelical Christian or whatever, I'm talking Catholic, Protestant, Christian. So it's the mixture of the Christian churches at the same level of strength as the mixture of the Islamic mosques and so on. Okay, well, I was about halfway up. I was kind of at the dividing line, and I didn't go up further north, but Christians are being persecuted. There were about 2,000 Christians had been murdered, literally murdered, by the time I got there, and we were trying to document this so people in America could understand what is going on. I had individuals coming to me. I was never in danger. They came to me. It took this Pastor John 2 days to get to where we were. And he told about the Boko Haram, which is this militant Islamic group, coming into his village, shooting people. There were about 60 dead at the end of that encounter. And he ran for the bush. He was alarmed. He had heard the gunshots. He had 6 children and his wife, and he encouraged them to come with him. And for whatever reason, they ran into his house and hid there. After enough of the shootings, what happened was the Boko Haram group, they just poured gasoline on all the houses and set them afire, and then they went up very fast. They're not as secure as ours, but if you put gasoline all around this house and set it on fire, it's going to go up too. So here is a gentleman who's lost his 6 children, his wife, he's lost his home, he has no clothes except what are on his back. He's gone through a highly traumatic experience. He has no job, they've taken his property now, and he's just wandering. And he comes all these miles on his own to get to where we are so we can document his story. And that was one of probably 10 or 12 stories. We didn't use them all, but that we used in the documentary to help people in America understand what is going on. But you look at him, I mean, that's the world in which he's living. And for the most part, we're unaware that that's going on. I could tell other stories of Christians who were there because we had them all. I mean, people, this one, I remember very vividly this one gentleman saying, I didn't want to believe what anyone else said. I wanted to count them for myself, and I counted 106 bodies. These are children, women, men. So this is happening. The Boko Haram has gone into the churches a lot of times when they're worshiping, small churches, big churches, and they set them on fire as the people try to leave. You know, you talk about 40, 50 militants outside picking them off as they're running. That's not the world in which we're living, but it is the world in which we live today. And Nigeria is a reflection of what's happening in Congo. It started to happen in Kenya because there is a force of evil that is saying, I'm not talking about all Muslims because Christians and Muslims have lived together in Nigeria for a long time, but this militant group is saying, we say either convert or we kill you. Now that's our world that we're living in. So I'm thinking what is happening in America, when you say, how do you inform yourself what is happening? We have to understand we live in a global world. We live with brothers and sisters in Christ who are not in the same situation in which we are. So to just close our eyes to them is not wise. And what they say to us, I remember two things so profoundly that affected me. One, I thanked Pastor John. I said, you've come a long way. Thank you. He said, no, I thank you. And I said, why would you thank me? I don't understand. He said, I thank you because I have no one to tell what happened, and you're recording my story for other people to hear. And that gives me meaning. I had no meaning until I came here, you know. So that's one thing. Then the other thing that they say repeatedly is, what's happened to us is going to happen to you. They have this sense that they are a part of what is going on in the world that sooner or later will come to your doorstep. So when you see us, you have to understand this is just the first part of it, and it's coming, and you need to be ready. Somehow you have to help the world stop this. They're very difficult. You struggle with that. So part of what that does is you begin to be a global Christian and a Christian who understands that there is spiritual warfare going on far stronger than am I going to think lustful thoughts in my mind today. I mean, we're talking about bullets and fire and rockets and all the rest. That's what I mean, not how do you deal with the demonic and try to go to a seance or something. No. But we just need to understand that our world is a little part of the world, and God's word, it relates, Revelation relates very powerfully to these Christians in Nigeria. It may not to us yet, but it does to many people in many parts of the world, and I can name the country. I mean, you talk about China, the martyrs in China. You can talk about India, where the radical Hindus are killing Christians, you know, killing the pastors, raping their wives, and so on. This is the world in which we're living. And for us not to be aware of that as we go to study a book like Revelation is to say we are in a cocoon that is a little strange. You know, God's word is for all people, and it is incredibly relevant, and it has precious promises in there for people. We may not feel it right now. We may be in God's providence removed from it. How fortunate we are, how long it will go on, I don't know, but you have to see it as a book that is more than just for American Christians to figure out what time is Jesus going to come.
So then you're saying the book of Revelation is about a world quite unlike what most of us in this country have experienced.
Yeah, but stunningly real to those people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much.
One of the things we should most certainly do is pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that are in persecution, but we should also be prepared and ready for the day when it will touch our lives as well.
Yeah, well said.
We're so thankful you joined us for our podcast today. You found our podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We hope you also took note of the resources we have there. We have many resources to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast.